I was just walking by your room, and you know, I was thinking, boy, it's been a long time since we've had the little father-son chat.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I bought some magazines. Do you want to just flip to the center section? Well, this is the female form.
Andy Dirt Johnson.
This is Hustler, and this is a much more exotic magazine. Look at the expression on her face. You see that? See what she's doing? She's kind of looking right into your eyes, saying, "Hey, big boy. Hey, how you doing?" You see?
Right. And Brendan Sprague.
Shave is a magazine I'm not too familiar with, but again, if you flip to the center section, well, you see the detail that that they go into in this picture here.
Yeah.
It almost looks like a tropical plant or some underwater thing.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Okay, that was good.
Yeah.
See you at dinner.
Yeah, I'll see you at dinner.
The Fan. In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Celebrate the season with a Northwest tradition, Bad Santa Cascadian Dark Ale. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Tuesday, brought to you by Pelican Brewing's Bad Santa Cascadian Dark Ale. Warm up with the bold flavor and get into the holiday spirit. Enjoy by the fire or maybe even under the mistletoe. Is that a thumbs up? No, we got thumbs down. Got it. Okay.
Voicemail.
We're hoping to get George Reiser on. Yeah.
Oh,
sounds
awesome.
Like we are having some technical difficulties.
Everything is awesome.
That's my guy.
163 days.
You're there, man. You're almost there.
We still sound like chipmunks, too.
Yeah, if you want to hear what we sound like as chipmunks, you can go listen. One of our P1s said, for being honest, this is what Dirt sounds. What did he say?
Sounds like most of the time.
This is what you would assume his voice sounds like when you look at him.
Wow.
So I appreciate that.
Quite a compliment.
Yes, very.
It's Therapy Tuesday. How do you do with bad compliments?
I don't really let anything affect me anymore. When I was younger, I used to take things very personally when I would read them.
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest things you have to learn early on in your radio career, is that you can't take anything personally.
Yeah.
But it's much easier said than done. When somebody says, you suck, you're an idiot, you're terrible, and you get those kind of things, it's very hard to not take things, you know, like, hey, what the hell, man? I'm just trying to do my job here.
My daughter just found out that I have people call me a soy boy.
Yeah, you're soy boy.
She didn't know what that was.
You have to explain what a soy boy is. What's your definition of a soy boy?
I've always viewed soy boy as a form of masculinity that people think is more feminine.
Mm.
Because it's not bro out culture in your face, I'm alpha.
Seems like a pretty correct assessment.
Which I think is funny because I think it's actually more soy to call somebody else a soy boy.
It's a little bit of a soy thing to call somebody a soy boy. I
don't
tend to agree with you there.
And now it's turned into a home nickname for me.
It's a little bit of a soy thing for you. Yeah. Somebody said, let's be real. Dirt is Theodore. Sprague is Simon.
Simon.
And Rop is Alvin.
Oh.
I don't know why Rop got thrown in there, not Swag. Swag's got to be somebody on the show.
Well, Swag in this instance would be Dave.
Which one's
He's
the,
always yelling at us.
Which one is the...
Simon's the tall one with glasses.
Who's the one that they always yell at, though, for not doing his thing?
Simon.
Simon.
Simon!
Oh, Simon! So you're the one that's the... You're the troublemaker on the show.
No, Alvin. Sorry, not
Alvin.
Simon. Alvin.
So Rop is then the Alvin.
Who's
the Alvin of our show?
Well, given the show history, I'd say I've probably been yelled at more than you, but
probably.
I've also yelled back, so.
That's true. You do more yelling back
than
I do.
You just internalize all of your anger and petty, and it builds up, and one day you will Jim Carrey in a grocery store, and me, myself, and Irene.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I just let it out because I can't control it.
So Dirt is nailing this helium sound. Well, I'm already, like, kind of sick and nasally to begin with, so.
What does this sound like as a chipmunk?
Ho, ho, ho!
We should find out during the next
That's true. We can go
break.
Pull that, yeah. Get the ho-ho-ho, chipmunk ho-ho-ho.
Look, I don't know what the issue is for the internet. I do know that when I went to the restroom during one of the breaks, there was somebody, and I want to say it's somebody working above, in here working with wires in the ceiling.
Oh, so we blame it on them, huh?
Well.
I kind of, we could do that probably.
Is it hard not to connect those kinds of dots?
Seems like it usually happens. Does that
it's
mean-
not going to work. We don't, it's.
Okay, not going to work. Roger that.
Sweet.
So George Reitster.
It's good news.
Maybe later.
Look, George has been great to the show.
George is great.
We
he
love
understood.
George. Maybe I'll get him on tomorrow.
Yeah. I said we got an issue. Our engineer's working on it right now, but
somebody said soy boy because he puts raw ground beef in the crock pot.
That's soy boy, huh?
Yeah.
Why is that soy boy? That's
you should
more
stick to
like
the tofu.
Man, just meat, cook meat.
I cook
in
meat
pot.
All day.
Somebody said Dirt has so much hate in his heart. Criticisms aren't going to bother him. It'll be okay. Wow.
I want to tell
full
you guys,
of hate, huh?
Legitimately, okay. Dirt has. I don't know if I'm going to be around for it, but the day he explodes, I hope I'm next to it.
Nah, I'm too even keel. I'm not going to explode. Somebody said Sprague's definitely the Alvin of the show. That guy texted it as well.
Yeah, I would say the history of the show. If you just kept it within the show, like you didn't include the other people at the station, I think I would lean that I'm the Alvin.
Yeah, you're not the Alvin of the overall fan.
No.
You're definitely I think you're the Alvin of the show, though.
Yeah.
Alvin of the show. Alvin of the fan is unquestionably Rob.
Well,
it's not even close.
Probably.
It's not even close.
Yeah, that's why we called you Dave. You're Dave.
You're the Dave. You yell at us.
Yeah. You're constantly screaming about something.
Are you familiar with your Alvin and Chipmunks recently?
Oh, yeah.
You've been listening?
That's right in his wheelhouse.
That's got to be in your wheelhouse. Your kid like Alvin and the Chipmunks?
My kid hates them.
Hates them, really?
Thinks it's the most annoying Christmas song to come on.
I mean, it's pretty annoying.
I don't remember him doing much with the Chipmunks.
Were the Chipmunks
popular?
He was
a Blues Clues
to him when I was a
kid when he was really young.
Uh-huh.
And then when he was more 8, 9, 10, it was SpongeBob. He really liked SpongeBob.
Yeah, I don't know how popular the Chipmunks really were, though.
I had a Chipmunks cassette tape when I was a kid.
Yeah, but did you watch the cartoon?
I never watched the cartoon, no. I'd listened to the Christmas songs a couple of times, and that was about it.
Yeah.
That was my run-of-the-mill for Alvin and the Chipmunks.
That's the funny voice thing, though.
That's all it was. Like, hey, this is kind of funny.
We used to watch them once in a while at daycare.
I never saw the movie, but I do know that they made the movie not recently, but they came out with the Alvin and the Chipmunks movie.
I think the biggest take I have is I don't like the way animated movies are anymore. I'm not really
You like the old school Peanuts, Scooby-Doo stuff?
I just like hand-drawn stuff. Yeah. I have an appreciation for lines. Even if you're drawing it digitally, making it look more drawn than like the Simpsons football
realistic,
game.
Yeah.
Or digital. I'm more of a fan of the old school way.
Jacob says he wants this in the Chipmunk filter.
We think.
Oh, that's a good one.
We'll have to go pull some of these. We'll see what it sounds like. It's going to be good audio content.
Boy, that's a real bummer to not get George Reister today.
He was very kind. My apologies. We will try to re-up with George when we get our issues figured out.
I wanted to get to this quickly. I do want to get to a local. We'll get to the mail sack, by the way, coming up in a moment. So keep your
We won't be running
coming
into the mail sack either. We should be on time for that.
We will be on time for that.
Yeah.
I saw a piece came out. Now, this is causing a lot of frustration for some people, depending on where your market is and what game you want to go to. There was a thing that came out, and it was the ticket prices of the opening round of the college football playoff.
Okay.
And by the way, I think we're having, it's definitely internet issues, by the way. That's the problem.
Oh, the internet's not working now.
I mean, it's just incredibly slow. In order to get into the first round of the college football playoff games, do you want to guess which game is the most expensive ticket?
Notre Dame, Indiana.
Notre Dame, yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably because of the seat capacity, right?
I think it also probably has to do
with the smaller stadiums.
Well, there's probably a lot of local demand because that's a game that Indiana fans can drive to.
It's a state
200
battle,
miles.
Yeah.
So cheapest ticket to get in right now for Indiana Notre Dame, $1,065.
Yeah, no thank you.
Just to get into the building.
Yeah.
So that's standing room only. Just find a spot.
What's the cheapest of the other?
Do you want to guess? The cheapest ticket. So your other games are Tennessee, Ohio State, Clemson versus Texas. Now, remember how Ohio State feels about their current team and head coach situation. So are they super excited to even go to that game?
Well,
Clemson, Texas, and then SMU, Penn State, or your other
games?
They
bought Big Ten title game tickets to the point where people were able, as Duck fans, to fly over and get in for $20.
Yeah, but you can drive from Knoxville to Columbus.
I don't think it's Ohio State. I'm going to guess, actually, it's Texas.
Texas, the cheapest ticket currently on StubHub for Clemson in Texas is $310.
So is it Penn State SMU?
It is Penn State SMU.
Yeah. That's not an exciting thing to hear out loud.
No, Tennessee, Ohio State, $344 is your lowest tick right now for two tickets on StubHub, the lowest that you can find. SMU, Penn State, $122. And I wonder how much of that has to do with, one, to the point you were bringing up earlier, the capacity. Penn State Stadium holds a crap ton of people. And it's
hard
SMU.
To get to from there. So it's pretty much you're just drawing Penn State fans. And then SMU will send probably just
sliver.
Whatever contingent from the university, and they charter, or they might arrange some flights for some boosters and season ticket holders. But
I feel like the people from SMU that are going to that game are going to be sweet.
PJs, yeah.
Yeah, they're PJs and sweets.
I don't think Duck fan would have a problem selling out any game against any opponent. What's the opponent that gets you to go, home playoff game, that's cool, but no thank you.
SMU kind of would have done it,
yeah,
to be honest with you.
I hope SMU shocks us, because I don't think any of us are giving them a chance to
UNLV
win.
Beating Boise and getting the 12 seed and being that team would have also done it.
100%.
Like, yeah, last time Indiana came to Autzen, it didn't go so well.
No, I was at that game.
I was at that game, too.
They beat Oregon at Autzen
that
Stadium.
Team is capable of being entertaining if they're not getting outmanned. Like, Ohio State out-physical them.
And I think Notre Dame has the ability to do that. But we'll find out.
I agree.
At the line of scrimmage. This is the only downside, and I know somebody, or a couple of Beaver fans tweeted me yesterday, told me that I sound spoiled and I need to stop complaining
sometimes
and enjoy
you
my
do.
Team.
Yeah, sometimes you do.
I mean, look, I would have argued that we've been arguing about this for months, that this system is ridiculous and somebody's going to get screwed in this.
Yeah.
It just so happened to be my team. If my team would have lost, I know your people probably won't believe this. Let's say they lose to Penn State on Saturday night and Penn State got this draw. I would have said the same, like Penn State got absolutely hosed. I would have said the same exact thing.
Well, Georgia would have got this draw.
Georgia would have gotten the draw too. Well, yeah, you think Georgia would have been the one seed over a one-loss Penn State if they would have won the Big Ten?
No, yes. Penn State would have been the one seed.
Penn State was number three to begin with. They were already ranked ahead of Georgia.
Texas and Penn State both won. No, Texas was two.
Texas was two and they
Georgia
dropped
was
to five.
No, I'm saying, but Texas's result of losing was dropping to five. Georgia's two for winning. Why would they not get one?
Because Penn State was already ahead of them and they would have beaten the number one team in the country.
Penn State dropped two.
What win would have been better, the win over Texas or the win over Oregon?
Georgia's resume is infinitely better than Penn
State's.
Don't
disagree with you at all.
I don't know if I agree with you guys there.
Okay. Well, the point would have been, I would have made that argument either. It's just a ridiculous system, and it's dumb. We do this every year in the NFL. Like, why does a sub-500 division winner get to host a playoff game?
Tampa might host Minnesota.
Yeah, it's dumb. Minnesota's been one of the best teams in the NFL this year. And we're going to rant about that. Is that complaining? You just don't like it because you don't like my team, and that's okay. I grant you that.
We also don't know yet what that path is.
Totally fair.
We could see it on paper. We talk about Ohio State like Ohio State ran through everybody and didn't have multiple choking moments.
Yeah, they just lost to Michigan the last time we saw them play.
I know I referenced this yesterday. Herb Street's 100% right. I don't know how much their fans trust that coaching staff.
Yeah.
Chip's been a disaster. Ryan Day can't win a big game right now. Their defense is good statistically, but like when they face certain teams, they just don't get stops when they need to. So, like, what if Ohio State loses to Tennessee, and then are you buying Nico is going to beat Oregon? I don't know if he's ready for that yet. Maybe Oregon wins that game. Maybe they win it going away. And then what if you get ASU in the semis?
They could.
You stop Cam Scataboo, and you win the game.
Yeah, I mean, you feel much better about that matchup. Not that you're guaranteed to win, but you feel much better about that matchup.
And I don't know if we're saying, like, Georgia's not going to have their starting quarterback, so maybe Notre Dame's going to be a problem for them. Like, we're saying this because it looks optic-wise awful. We don't know how it's going to shake out.
You got to have chalk to shake out in the way that I explained it yesterday on the show. One of the things that would have me argue that less about getting screwed is if you didn't have neutral sites for the next round of playoff games. Like, I know Duck fans are thrilled. I know a ton of people that are going down to L.A. and going to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
And you know a month ahead of time, like, hey, let's get our tickets now. And I know a ton of people that are making plans to go down. There's going to be a crap ton of Duck fans there. If that game was at Autzen Stadium, we wouldn't be arguing this as much. Like, hey, congrats. No. As a Tennessee, you win in Columbus. Your reward is in 10 days you go to Autzen Stadium and play.
You'd want Tennessee.
I'd love that.
That'd
like
be a
then
great
it's,
game.
It wouldn't be the same thing. And not that you're not going to have maybe a slight advantage at the Rose Bowl because of the lead up you're going to have to buy tickets to that game. But not having a home playoff game really sucks.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's another product of this system that just it blows, and they need to correct
that. We also need to not come to conclusions after year one. One, the bracket may change next year or 2 years.
It will. It definitely will.
But, like, there was real debate. Would you rather lose and get the Penn State draw? And, like, Kirby Smart said this. I think Lanning's echoed it some. Why would you not want rest? In the NFL, I read an article that the Chiefs, their GM came out and said, we might wrap up our division by December 20th. If that happens, you're talking about maybe having 24 days where you don't have to play your starters and you can have like a mini camp.
Yeah.
And they may not win the playoffs. They've been very close. But the point is that sport, you should always want rest.
Yeah.
And if a team loses off the bye, you know, like show up. That's just kind of what the sport is.
Yeah, that's on you. Let's get to the mail sack. Your questions, welcome, 503-864-6326. So much for being on time for it. We'll get to a local team coming up bottom of the hour. Back after this on The Fan. With a little love. All right, are we buying it? That's coming up bottom of the hour. Welcome back in.
We've had listeners say that the drops don't come through. Like,
we don't get chipmunk drops? Come on.
It's basically just us.
That's my guy!
I want that in a chipmunk voice. Damn it.
Do I need to recreate it myself?
I think so. I think so. I think we might need that. We're having a great time. Let's get to the mail sack. You guys ready? You guys want to sack it up?
Is Bill Belichick going to be back in New England?
No, he's going to be the head coach at North Carolina.
I think he might be taking the North Carolina job.
I think he's going to be the head coach at North Carolina.
Gerard Mayo's reportedly coaching for his job, which it's like, what does that mean? Win a game?
Already?
That's a report from Boston Sports Journal.
I mean, look, it hasn't been good 1 year in. Dude, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I get they didn't expect to win. He's had a lot of moments where you're like, I don't think this guy knows what he's doing.
No, he is not. Like, you know, saying we can't play our starting quarterback or our rookie quarterback, and then you put him in, and then he ends up being really good.
Are you going to get to the NBA today? Because it's time to talk about the NBA. We're trading everybody now. Now's the time to talk about the league.
Now's the time when it becomes fun.
This is the only time you talk about
trade rumors. Well, you just wait, all right? You just wait. Maybe we will.
It's just unbelievable. This is the only time they talk about the league. It's like, hey, everybody's going to get traded now.
Yeah, it's the only time. Cool. It's interesting. Mail sack question. Christmas movie or special that you most have to watch every season?
Oh, dude.
The original animated Grinch.
Yeah,
that the OG special. Grinch.
The OG Grinch.
Now I watched it on
where is it available?
It's on Apple.
Oh, okay, Apple has it
or Peacock. It's one of those.
I think Peacock.
Yeah,
has
I think it's
it.
Peacock.
Okay.
Friday, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the claymation one, was back on NBC for the first time in like 50 years.
We watched it on Friday.
Yeah, I put it on too. My kids hated it.
They
is
can't
that the one
it.
With the heat miser.
No, that's A Year Without a Santa Claus, but very similar thing.
Rankin Bass, same kind of company, but yeah, they hated it. It's usually ones like that. Like yesterday I watched Frosty. I had a thing where it was stuck on Freeform from Sunday, and I just clicked it thinking it was live post the football game, and I watched the original Jimmy Durante Frosty the Snowman.
Frosty the Snowman with the magician and the hat. And
those are usually the ones that get me to stop.
I would say for me... I mean, it's so hard to pick one because we all have multiple. Christmas Story is the biggest one for me.
24 hours on TNT?
Every Christmas Eve. I know that's the tradition for everybody, probably. But
Elf is the USA one.
And Elf does a lot. I mean, I watch Elf every year. Christmas Vacation has to be watched every year. I'll do Wonderful Life every year. Like, you check all the boxes. But the one, if I didn't watch Christmas Story on Christmas Eve, it wouldn't feel like Christmas.
The idea of the movie being on network television kind of still means something to me. And then I watch it, and I'm like, too many commercials. it's the feeling still there,
right.
But the actual execution of it doesn't work for me.
It is. My wife will do that sometimes. Well, she'll watch a movie on TV that we have the, you know.
You have, you can watch
we,
it on
we
a stream,
can watch on
right,
a stream, and she'll watch it with the commercials, and I always like, why are you, this is on?
Because it used to matter.
Like, I know, it used to matter.
Watching It's a Wonderful Life, if you didn't own it, on NBC, that was... program scheduled television, but now you watch it and it's like this movie's 4 hours with the commercials.
It takes forever.
So like it starts at 7, it's over by 11, and I've had so many commercial breaks.
Yes.
I get excited about the idea of it, but I don't like the actual execution.
There are some nice things where I wish that they would do that for streaming of like, I don't want that many commercial breaks or that long of commercial breaks, but they should put into the streaming movies because sometimes you just kind of forget to do it. Like, hey, why don't you stand up and go take a pee and go grab some popcorn? You know, like here's your two minute break. We're going to have an intermission halfway through.
Yeah.
You need to refill your popcorn and go take a leak and grab a Coke or something like that.
I'll tell you something I am getting excited about is the Christmas Day movie release. If you don't have big family plans all day.
Yes.
Timothée Chalamet being Bob Dylan.
Does that get you going?
Yeah. He's an absolute certified banger of a movie star.
Now, is he actually singing in the movie? I don't like when they do that.
He spent like 5 years of his life.
I was gonna say, I don't know. It depends on how. I mean, you know, when Jamie Foxx did Ray Charles.
I'm not saying it can't be done.
But you've got to be good.
I mean, some people don't think he has a very good sounding voice.
So why is Timothée Chalamet
doing
it?
I'm just saying that's my biggest fear of singing movies is when you don't just have the voiceover of the actual singer. Like, the one that was the worst was the guy that did the Biggie movie. Remember when that came out and they had that guy rap instead of Biggie? It was terrible.
What did you think about Joaquin Phoenix doing Johnny Cash?
He was good. It was a good movie.
So don't we have more examples of guys doing it well than people not doing it well?
I don't know. I'd have to rack my brain on that. Let me noodle on that one.
But yeah, he is a movie star.
Female sack, what's your most interesting college athlete encounter story when you were... When you enter in college, I was walking home from the bars in East Lansing. Paul Davis was 6'11". He was dating a 6'5" volleyball player. They were flirty, chasing each other, and ran past me like it was I was in giant land.
Travis Outlaw stole somebody I was dating.
Travis Outlaw did, huh?
Yeah.
Stole your girl.
Well, I wouldn't say girl, but...
I mean, it's a trout law. You don't mess with the trout law.
Yeah, probably that. Like, and it was a weird feeling of, I didn't really care that much for him as a player because, you know, he wasn't quite what we thought, but I was in a mix of, okay, didn't care, but also like, you know what? How dare you do that to
me? How dare you, Troutlaw? That hurt my feelings, man.
I kind of, yeah.
I like you. Remember when you hit that game winner in Memphis? I was rooting for you, man.
He didn't know I existed at all, but yeah, that's one that I had.
Huh. I'm trying to think when I was in college. There was an Oregon. I'll never forget my freshman year at Oregon football at Oregon, and we were at a party in the basement of a house. I don't remember the house. I don't remember how I got there. I just remember being in a basement and everybody. You know, it's one of those crowded college houses.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, the lights turn on, and there was an Oregon football player that walked down the stairs of the basement. The music turned off. The lights turned on, and there was an Oregon football player that said, "Who wants to?"
Oh, yeah.
And like three girls just walked up the stairs. And I remember thinking to myself, like, ah, that's how it works, huh?
There was a very...
And then they turned the lights off and the music started again. And I was like, oh, all right, welcome to college.
A very, very popular Oregon State football player that I will not name that had a very good public reputation that I heard in a club once say, it's time for me to get, you know,
time to go.
Care of.
And he had a girl.
Yeah.
And none of that mattered in that
No, it did not matter. Mail sack question. If you had to play in an NFL game, what position do you think you could get away with for 60 minutes?
Punter.
Punter.
Yeah.
Do you think you could punt?
I could give you a 30 to 40 yarder.
Bold claim.
You want a hot take?
Punting's not hard.
I think if I would have applied myself, I could have been a Division II punter.
Wow.
I do.
That's a bit of a hot take
I can kind of boot that thing up. Kids are always, when I do some stuff at a school, they give me a kickball. When I kick that ball into the field, they're amazed.
Yeah?
Like, I almost get asked for autographs. The height in which that ball goes
the
up.
The ability to boot the ball.
I think I could kick a solid 35, 40-yard punt and make that dude fair catch
it. Okay.
You put me at the 50, I'm pinning him within the 20.
He's adding, excluding, so you got to exclude special teams. No long snappers, no punters, no holders.
6'1 white guy, where do you want me to go? Receiver?
What would be the most passable?
Slot receiver, maybe like a 3 yard out. I catch it and I roll to the ground.
Yeah,
I'm not taking a hit.
You do the Tyler Lockett.
Well, Bryce Young took a hit this weekend near the end zone, and I'm like, how is he not dead?
Yeah.
Did you see him dap up Jalen Hurts, by the way?
I did.
He is so small.
He is so tiny.
And Jalen Hurts is not a very tall.
He's not tall, yeah.
And he was towering and physically just dominating over Bryce Young.
Yeah.
I don't know how he doesn't die every week. But slot receiver, 3 yard out, rolling.
Oh, I have no business being on an NFL field. Punting.
But you got to play the game.
If you're playing the game, slot receivers, probably that's the only applicable answer.
And by the way, a linebacker would get checked on me at the slot, and
for
he
me,
would
it's
push my ass
free
down.
Free safety.
Oh, my God.
Like the back end.
So you go back, but then you're eventually going to have to tackle a running back.
What if a crossing
Like, what
receiver?
Would you rather try and do? Catch a little out route or, like, you know,
I would rather try,
stand out there or
no,
try
No, I would rather
Derek
try
Henry.
To deliver the blow
oh my
than
God.
Take.
No. No, you
That's
would not.
That's such a bad take.
Because you could just fall down on offense. You wouldn't take the blow. Like, if you caught a ball in the slot.
Well, if you're trying to catch
you just
it.
Go down.
Swag, this
and
is
your quarterback
your
leads you into contact.
No. I mean, I'm not reaching into it.
I'm not saying
I'm going
I
alligator arms if I'm going over the middle.
Anything.
I'm turtling.
No, I'm doing an out route and rolling down
yes.
hoping to catch it.
I'm running one route all game. Out towards the sideline.
I didn't say strong. I'm not coming down as a fifth,
You said
fourth,
free safety.
So, free safety. I'm the guy deep over the top.
So Terrence Ferguson has gotten past the second
I'm
You're having
I'm diving
Terrence.
And rolling for an ankle and hoping I catch something.
Dude, this is your squat take. This is one of the all-time bad ones for you.
I have no business being anywhere near an NFL
well, none
field
of us
in the
do.
First place.
That's the beauty of it.
How many people at the station do? One?
One, yeah. One.
And he makes fun of himself for how little he was in it. Like, almost none of us do. You got to play the game. Why would you put yourself in the...
Yeah, I would much rather have the ability to control the contact that I receive for the most part than having to
deliver
down
the contact.
I mean, the answer if you're swag saying safety, I just wouldn't try and tackle. I just trip and fall.
Yeah. Right.
Like, you don't have to try and tackle it. Like, you just fall over.
he just kind of do a little shoulder roll and hope you get an ankle and trip them up.
Wow.
What is the worst CFP conclusion? Mail sack question. All three SEC teams go 0-3. I don't know why that would be worse. A final with undefeated Oregon versus one loss Boise State.
Mm.
Imagine two Heisman candidates. Rematch. Would anyone watch or attend in Atlanta?
That would be a very low-rated national championship
Oregon State
game.
Versus Boise would be a very low-rated national title game.
Oregon State versus Boise.
Or excuse me, Oregon versus
I
Boise
like Oregon State. Boise in the national title
They
game.
Just played. Almost 2 million people watched it.
Why is the three SEC teams, that's bad? The
I don't know why them bad. Going 0-3 would
most,
be bad.
You mean the most far-fetched? The least likely to happen.
It just asks, what is the worst CFP conclusion? Maybe for viewership, yeah, I guess the SEC losing would be bad, but it would be hilarious for the rest of the country.
Well, the worst possible outcome is Oregon-Boise State. That's not close.
What's the worst possible outcome for you? Not nationally, for you. A third Texas-Georgia game?
Yeah, that's certainly in the running.
Because that's in the running.
I just have no interest in 16-19 or 19-22.
An all SEC national championship game would be pretty insufferable.
We'd
because
watch.
Then it's, I mean, we would watch, but it's just going to lead to more of their crap that will never go away.
Spencer Danielson rallied on the comments of Reese Davis, and if he proves me wrong, I certainly will tip my cap. He's had a great year. Boise State being in the national championship game is going to be that.
Is that worse than it, like Clemson, Indiana?
I mean, God. am I crazy to say that that'd be kind of fun?
I think Boise State gets more curiosity factor than Indiana.
Well, so here's the thing. I think
Cignetti versus Dabo.
I think we need to take the national perspective out and just use you. Like, because nationally, Clemson versus Indiana would
Clemson,
not be
Indiana.
A highly rated game.
Ugh.
Boise State being there would not be a highly rated game. What is the matchup for you that makes you just... Ugh.
It's Oregon-Boise State. I don't need to see it twice. The first
more
one was
so
fun.
That you would rather watch Texas-Georgia a third time than Oregon versus Boise?
Yeah, because I think Oregon would not be... close with Boise State the second time they play.
What's your worst final, Swag? The one that makes you just shake like, oh, God, I'm not excited to watch that.
I think Clemson, Indiana.
That would be a funny one for
Kurt Cignetti with a chance to win a national title, and you'd just be like, whatever.
It would just be,
well, also, how did Indiana build their team?
Through the portal.
How does Clemson not build their team?
They don't do the portal.
One says, Google me, bitch. Yeah. The other one's like, I'm good, shut up. Yeah. Like, there is an element, I'm not excited about that game, but there's an element of that game that's more exciting than Boise State, Oregon.
God, Indiana winning a national title, I'd have to eat a lot of crow if that happened, man.
I think America would have to eat a lot of crow.
Somebody said, did Sprague just pull a swag squatting claims? Prove it. I want to see a 40-yard punt. I think we need to see this.
Okay.
I think we need to see your punt videos.
I tell you what, I will do this the minute Joe Fisher... gets his ass on a line and proves he can run a 5.27 40.
He said he could run a 5.240.
Yeah, that was Devondre Sweat, I think, ran one at 320 pounds.
Mm, not happening.
And I said, you know how fast that is? And Joe Fisher's like, I could run that.
Somebody said.
And then proceeded to never prove it and has just completely backed away from the comment.
He said, all right, let's go. Nelson High School, Christmas Eve, Sprague punting contest. Let's go.
All right, we'll
see you there. Christmas Eve, punting contest with the Sprague.
I need a solid yoga session before we do it. I got to stretch those hammies.
Stretch the hammies out.
Stretch the hammies.
There's your mail sack. Let's get to this. Are we buying the reports? That's next. Well, are we buying the report? Talked a little bit about them yesterday. But they didn't deserve much of your time and attention. But as Sprague joked about in the previous segment, now is when we start paying attention to the league. You know why?
Because
things get entertaining.
Yeah.
We got guys getting traded, maybe.
It's
hypothetical
trade
NBA trade season.
Teams hate their stars. Stars hate their teams.
I want out of our deals.
Wasn't this the time of year that... there are certain contracts that were signed in the offseason that you're not eligible to move them.
It's December 5 days. Yeah, so in 5 days, it's like when they can clear. I'm going to ask you this sincerely, okay?
Yeah, what do you got?
Because I don't think you're going to be alone, so I don't want you to feel insecure or stupid.
I don't feel insecure on anything.
Who is the 3 seed in the East?
Ooh, buddy.
I mean, you're taking a total shot in the dark.
Thank you for being honest about that.
I don't even know if I can tell you who the one seed is. Boston, probably? Is this the Boston?
Boston is not the one
no,
seed.
No, it's Cleveland. Cleveland had that super hot start.
15-0 they started the year?
I mean, yeah. 21-4. That was a great start.
I'm assuming the Boston's the two seed.
Yes.
Yep.
Who's the three seed? Is it Atlanta?
It sure isn't.
No.
Atlanta is the seven seed.
But they're in the cup, though, right? Aren't they cupping it?
They're cupping it.
They're cupping it. Yeah. I saw that they're in the cup.
Yeah.
That would be my first guess. The Knicks?
Nope.
Not the Knicks?
No.
Orlando?
Not the Knicks. Orlando.
Orlando.
Who's the three seed in the West?
Ooh, I mean, it's got to be...
No.
Denver.
It is the Houston Rockets, I believe.
The upstart Rockets.
Ah, the Rockettes. Big fan of the Rockettes.
I am paying a little attention to
these. You are. So I know what's going on.
The only reason I ask you that question is this is kind of the point, and where I'm at on the league is I don't think anybody can name those things.
No.
I'm in a bubble of basketball, so my circle of people could do it. This is the only way the league gets talked about. The Blazers are now a topic of conversation because it's, what are we going to get for Ant, Grant, and Williams? I don't know. If I'm a team that wants one, why would I overpay? They should be looking at us as the more desperate entity there.
You need to get rid of those guys.
Like, if you're the
Lakers,
you're
going to move on from them.
Jeremy Grant's not going to change your season a whole lot. So do you want to give your two first-round picks for him? Maybe they will. Maybe Pelinka's just like, hey, here's a thing I can point to.
The question is, for Orlando, how long's Wagner out? Are they...
The same injury as Banchero. Like, they have the same injury right now.
So they could use a Jeremy Grant if they want to very much try to stay in that three-seed spot.
They want that contract on the books.
But how desperate are they to do it? That's the question.
Well, that was the segment I was going to get to. We referenced it earlier. I mean, there's not a lot going on encouraging with the Blazers recently. They're off until, what, Friday, because it's cup week, right?
It's cup
check,
yeah.
So there's no games for the Blazers.
Quarterfinal games tonight.
Quarterfinal games tonight. But there was a report that came out earlier today that the Blazers are receiving. They're garnering serious interest in the trade market. For Jeremy Grant, Anfernee Simons, and Robert Williams III.
Teams are trying to figure out how desperate they are to move them.
It's framed that way, but it also, that same report says, teams aren't really sure what they're willing to give up asset-wise.
In order to go get those
guys.
That
it's a gamble to take on those players. So...
That teams, I mean, obviously you want, I'm sure, but what are they going to ask for? Yeah. If you still want two first-round picks for Jeremy Grant...
There were phone calls
does
a lot.
Anybody still think they're getting two first-round picks for Jeremy Grant?
I don't know.
Lucky to get one first.
I don't know the trade market very well, is what I've concluded.
Yeah. Well, the other tough part with this, too, is that the DeAndre Ayton thing is, buddy. Just the fact that we're now into trade season in the NBA, because the deadline is, around the corner, and we're hitting dates where you can start trading guys that sign contracts and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. The fact that DeAndre Ayton's name's not even mentioned in this, and this is just your random trade report of
they'd
these guys.
Are, the guy that's always getting
They'd
getting
rather
injured,
have the guy who's played like 12 games in the last 5 years, but he's awesome when he plays. I don't doubt Robert Williams' impact when he's on the floor. He's incredible to watch. I've loved every second of it.
Problematic is what you're saying?
He just can't stay healthy, one. But yeah, the guy with the massive contract that was one of the bigger pieces you got in the Damian Lillard trade. Remember that?
That was one of the things to
former
point
to. Number one overall pick.
And now Blazer fans are pivoting and saying, well, it's actually Tamani. We got Tamani.
Tamani's the guy, which, hey, I love watching Tamani, but that's a whole different conversation that we can unpack at some
we
point.
We may have the highest paid backup center in the NBA next year.
I mean, if DeAndre Ayton is a guy that doesn't even generate any interest on the trade market, how many years does he have left on his contract?
He's got one more after this.
Okay, so you only got one more year, but at that point, you're
going to. It's more going to be in the summer if you don't trade him in the season.
Yeah, with as an expiring
as
deal.
1 year expiring if you don't want to sign him to an extension.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he helps you win much, so whatever. You're trying to tank this year anyway. So
half the
time,
his coach wants to bench him.
I mean, he did on Sunday when they played, or Friday, whatever game that was, when they were getting blown out at home. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Jeremy Grant, Anthony Simons, Robert Williams, all generating interest on the trade market.
Do we trade them? Receiving interest doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't mean anything. I also don't know how much of this is leaked from Portland of just saying, hey, let's start juicing up some of this stuff on the open market, and if I get this out to Sham saying we're getting interest for these guys, maybe the offers get brought up a little bit. I'm gonna say no, that they don't, because I have no confidence in this organization to do the right thing. Should they? Yes. All three of them should be traded.
Okay.
Considering the direction we're going and what's to play for the rest of the year. I know Blazer fans have reached this weird point where they want to keep Robert Williams and pair him with Donovan Clingan, like long-term center package.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Can you get something for Robert Williams now?
He might be one of your best assets.
That's my whole point. So what are you holding on? I mean, you're not anywhere near winning anything. The guy cannot stay healthy.
It's not about wanting to say we hold on to him versus not willing to trade him.
Yeah.
You'd rather trade Ayton than Williams.
Of course you would, but okay. You can get more for Robert Williams.
Well, I don't know what you can get more from any of these guys.
What's Robert Williams' contract, and is he going to re-sign here in Portland?
I don't know his contract. I wouldn't be shocked if he re-signed in Portland.
He got a four-year, $9 million. God, that's a cheap contract.
Yeah, well, because he can't stay healthy.
He has next year is the last year of his deal.
I just, what is Anfernee Simons to another team?
Not much. There's not a lot of value there. For your $48 million deal is what he signed with Boston in 2022.
Yeah.
The rookie extension is what he got. So I don't know. We'll wait and see on that. It is cup week, but that report came out earlier today that they're garnering serious interest. And Jeremy Grant.
Jimmy Butler's reportedly available.
And Robert Williams. Yeah, Brandon Ingram's going to get dealt back to the Lakers.
Well, yeah, I don't know about that. We'll see. Ingram was available this summer. Nobody wanted that.
Nobody wants that guy, man. Nobody wants him. He's
CJ's
been connected
also
to Portland.
Available.
Hey, go get him.
Yeah, he'll change everything for you.
Let's bring him back. Pair him with Anfernee Simons. New backcourt.
How many playoff games has they won in New Orleans?
The answer is zero.
Oh, that's right.
Answer zero. Let's wrap it up. Are you excited for the cuppage? And we got a poll question. We'll give you the updates and the responses on that next on The Fan. All right, before we get to our cup check of the day, who will get your vote? Heisman voter, Brandon Sprague. Heisman voter, Jason Swigard.
Yeah.
Who would get your vote? We put up a poll question last night, which I misspelled Cam Ward's name, so that was fun. Cam Ward, yes, everybody noticed that. You know what I was talking about, but, you know.
Thanks. I love when I do that.
Thanks for the edit button, Elon. Yeah. Not paying your $8 a month.
He's more worried about people going back to work in the office.
That he is. Let's focus on the real things here. Ashton Jeanty, Travis Hunter, Dylan Gabriel, or Cam Ward? Who would get your Heisman vote?
Hunter.
Hunter would get your vote?
Yeah, Jeanty's been certainly awesome. They're in the playoff because of him. I've also seen a lot of their games to the point where I'll say his offensive line, they kind of get... Look, he's broken. He has more yards after contact
than the next back.
The next back in the country with total rushing yards.
Yes.
He's a beast. He also has some games where, man, those holes are just wide open. He's got a great ability. They're such a disciplined blocking team. Great story. I got to go the guy that's, fifth in receptions in the country, and he plays both sides. I'm a sucker for it. I am. I'm going to go Hunter.
You go Hunter?
Yeah.
Swag?
Yeah, I would in my heart want to find a way to justify giving
Jeanty
the vote, yeah. But I think if I went down and studied all of the numbers and all of it, yeah. What Hunter's doing is pretty unprecedented at that
it
level.
Is. They also were a one-win team when they got there, yeah. And they've turned it around to this point.
Very true. They were a game away from going to the Big 12 title game.
Yeah.
I loved our voters giving Dylan Gabriel more votes than Travis Hunter.
I'm shocked.
Well done, Duck fans.
I'm shocked.
Ashton Jeanty did run away with the poll question, by the way, 64%. Cup check me. What do I need to know tonight? Magic and Bucks, Mavs and Thunder?
Mavs and Thunder could be more interesting, yeah. I think, because no Banchero, no Wagner. I don't know. And Milwaukee started to figure out how they're going to play this year.
It's a second round rematch between Thunder Mavs. I think there's a lot of anger from the Thunder
right.
in this one.
I forgot about that.
But you got Klay Thompson now, and you don't have Chet in this rematch. The other one, maybe it'll be better than we think. But yeah, no Wagner and no Banchero make it. You know, the Bucks are playing better basketball.
Is Dame going to get a cup?
Be kind of cool.
Does that go on his resume?
I mean, he's probably never winning a championship, so yeah, why not?
That'll do it for us, folks. Thanks so much for being a part of our Tuesday. If you missed any of the show, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com, at Dirt and Sprague, and at 1080thefan. Thanks for watching on YouTube and dealing with Chickmunk Voices. Like the video, subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Josh Payton on the show tomorrow at 7:40. Colin is next. Listen to 1080 The Fan.